All right, we're going to move to item number 23, WDM action plan with Mr. Chad Switzer.
Morning again, Madam Chair, members of the Commission, Secretary Roebling, Chad Switzer, Deputy Director of the Wildlife Division. Here this morning to give you an update and a short presentation here on the revision of our Wildlife Damage Management Action Plan. As many of you know, South Dakota Game Fish and Parks is pretty unique from many other states within the country. We do have our own WDM program that we manage internally within our department, working directly with landowners and producers across the state to reduce damage caused by wildlife to livestock, crops, and sometimes personal property. Our department employs 28 full-time wildlife damage specialists. They are scattered across the state, each having their unique work district, along with other staff to help implement this program. And with that, we offer a pretty broad toolbox of tools and programs to help mitigate these wildlife conflicts. And obviously with 80% of South Dakota's landscape under private ownership, it's a very important thing for us as a department to work with these landowners to address these conflicts and address these issues in a timely and very effective manner. I forgot about my slide. So a little bit over the little overview about the plan that we have in place that we've been operating under for the previous 5 years. So back in 2019, South Dakota Governor's Office selected the Wildlife Management Institute to conduct an independent review of our program. It was a very, very good and thorough process. We went through that and identified things that we were doing well, things that we could obviously improve upon, and we put together a plan to try to address some of those things that were brought forward and floated to the top from that review and internal discussions. After 5 years, obviously it's time to kind of reevaluate things, kind of see where we're sitting. We feel as a department and some of the feedback we obtained from our producers, things are working quite well. Obviously, we can always make improvements, right? Nothing is perfect, and we strive to improve things we do as a department all the time. So this summer, we assembled a planning team. I included a lot of administrators, supervisors, local supervisors at that local regional level. And a uniqueness to this most recent revision, we had a lot of grassroots input. We had about a half a dozen actual wildlife damage specialists, those that are out on the ground implementing this program, serve on this planning team. And it was really nice to have their input and take some things that they brought forward into consideration. We met a handful of times. We had took that draft that we have in front of you here today and will be out for public comment to administration, had a lot of good discussion, made a few tweaks from that discussion, and that's what we have in front of you here today. So the plan overall did not change a whole lot. We did add a goal to the plan, and I'll talk about that here in a little bit, but obviously the first goal is to obviously support our landowners across the state that deal with some of these wildlife damage situations. Obviously, wildlife is a public trust resource. A lot of those resources spend a considerable amount of time on private land, and we want to do our best to try to maintain those relationships with producers and landowners out there and do the best we can there. Goal two is to promote strong landowner and stakeholder relations through effective communication. That's something we take a lot of pride in. We're not perfect in that, but we are working to improve that. Those relationships are critical for wildlife management with landowners across the state. Obviously, if you've heard goal number three in regards to customer service, it's one of the pillars of our department, one of the things we take a lot of pride in. We want to ensure that we're providing effective and efficient customer service and program deliverables to our producers. And goal number four is kind of, it is a new addition to this plan. We want to strengthen and expand partnerships with landowners to promote habitat enhancement and increase public hunting access on private lands. Obviously, another huge priority within the department. Our wildlife damage specialists spend a considerable amount of time establishing relationships. We probably deal with, on average, probably 1,000 producers across the state each and every year. And we need to take advantage of those opportunities to have conversations with landowners and producers to try to address some of these chronic long-term wildlife conflicts and see what we can do there to enhance any habitat improvements, opportunities, and try to utilize hunters the best we can in those situations to address some of those conflicts. Each of the goals within the plan has respective objectives, strategies, and some action items associated with that. The plan, as you will read it, does not have a ton of information on it. It's really meat and potatoes heavy when it comes to those objectives and strategies. There are a couple hyperlinks within the plan. We're going to defer the public back to our website to, if they want to investigate what we have available for services and tools to provide, we're going to send them to our website. That way we can keep that updated and fresh. And also a link to our annual report, which was handed out to you, that accompanied that draft action plan. A lot of great information within that annual report. Once again, I forgot about my presentation here. So I'll just kind of end with this last slide here. Sorry about that. This slide kind of shows this is kind of where the rubber meets the road, right? We've got 28 dedicated staff across the state with unique districts that they are responsible for handling a lot of these requests for services that come in. So a request for service, looking at just 2025, you'll see that in your annual report, we had over 3,500 requests for services from landowners. Okay, so that's not that many unique landowners. Some landowners may have had, they may be dealing with deer at one time of the year. They may be dealing with prairie wolves at another time of the year. But we have a huge footprint out there working with, obviously, many, many landowners across the state. And I want to give a shout out to those 28 staff out there, our supervisors that help ensure that those WDS staff have the resources and tools they need to implement the programs and services that we provide to our producers. So with that, Madam Chair, that's about all I had for a presentation. You have the paper copy of the plan in front of you. We'll get that sent to you by email as well. That'll be made available for public comment, and we'll see what comes in for comment, address those things that we feel need to be addressed, and come back in March and ask for your adoption of this so we can begin implementation of this new plan. So,
very good. Any questions for Chad? Commissioner Bartling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner Bartling. It's not necessarily with the plan, Chad, but how often does, for the predator control aspect of it, is the count on livestock conducted and reevaluated so that the department can go out and assess the counties and whatnot for their share to help with predator control? How often is that done?
Yeah, so obviously, through the chair. So obviously our local staff and the regional supervisors have conversations with those predator control districts throughout the year, most likely on a quarterly basis. We do work with them to provide an annual a report of what those losses are. You'll see those estimates found within the annual report that you have there in front of you here today. And communication with them is critical. They're not found across the entire state, but some counties do have their own predator control districts. We do help provide some cost share for the services that they provide within their program as well. So
Madam Chair, if I may add to that, so then another component of that overall conversation then is on an annual basis, we do send the county assessment to each individual county that goes to the ADC fund. And again, that's based on the number of livestock. And that is reassessed and recalibrated every 5 years. And then they use national data and state data to do that. But that gets adjusted every 5 years. And then we use that number to send those county assessments out to the county treasurers, comes back into the ADC fund.
Yes, please.
Yeah, thank you, Tom. And I realize that. Is that assessment high enough? I mean, it's not a large assessment. And is it high enough to support what the agency needs to do?
Madam Chair.
Yes.
So when you look at the ADC fund overall, there's several components of it. It's actually outlined in your report that you have there of all the pieces and components that where the funding sources are that go into the ADC fund. The key part of that is the county assessment, correct? Which by statute, our agency is required to match 2-to-1. On average, about 300,000 varies as that assessment takes place. On average, it's been about 300,000 comes from the county assessments. Then we match that with 600,000 licensed dollars. There's other funding sources. They're all outlined in there. Right now, when we look back the last couple of years, when you look at the total expenditures for the ADC program, typically our agency does provide additional funds through licensed dollars to make the program whole. We have never been in a position where we have curtailed services or reduced services. We've always made sure that we are doing our job, providing the services that are being asked of us by the landowners out there, in particular in this ADC efforts, which would be primarily coyote control and prairie dog control efforts. But when you look at the totality, at least the last couple of years, the number of funds that come in to the ADC fund do not fill what our total expenditures are. And what we have been doing is fulfilling that or making it whole by using additional licensed dollars in.
Very good. Commissioner Beast.
Commissioner Beast, where do we get our, you talk about assessment, where do we get our numbers of livestock per county?
Secretary.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. Actually, it comes from the FSA. It's NAST data. So when we fill out those surveys every year as a producer, that's essentially then they'll take that data, they'll summarize that data, and that's where we utilize those numbers from. The NAST survey. So that's the FSA surveys that we all fill out as producers.
Additional questions, comments from the commission? Thank you for this and this report. And with that, we